If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Winter, spring, summer, fall, seasons change, we still keep it together.
Hey, Beverly Hills 90210 fans, are you ready to dive deep? Episode by episode, storyline by storyline, character by character, as we break down the making of your favorite zip code with your host. Charles
Rosen.
Did
I say that?
Jeez. Mary Mullen.
This foolish thing about the real person, and we're going, what? We're getting rid of this guy.
Pete Ferrero.
I'm feeling wonderful. Kathleen looks TV crush worthy.
Like so many special guests and all your questions. Live on the Beverly Hills 90210 show. Oh, yeah.
Okay, we are back here at the Beverly Hills 90210 show live. It's been a minute since we've been live. We haven't talked in a while. So how have the, by the way, I am immediately stunned. Claire looks so stunning behind you. I'm so distracted. Now we got Valerie, who cares? But I saw that shot of Claire that
what? They all look stunning in this speechless episode.
All right, but the holidays have gone.
Yeah,
how were your holidays?
The holidays were wonderful. We had big Christmas dinner here for 10. You know, my wife made a roast, even though she had just gone eye surgery, so she was patched up. She looked like a pirate. In fact, I got her a patch on the night before Christmas. I couldn't get any at a medical store, so I went to a costume store.
Nice.
And I got her a pirate patch and also an earring that came with it, which she refused to wear.
Amazing.
And then New Year's Eve, we actually went to a party down the beach and had some fun. You know, there were lots of fireworks here, even though it was raining. They just threw those fireworks and they're fabulous. And things are good. You know, happy. I finished my young adult novel in progress.
Let's talk about it.
So the Cool Guys Kid. Oh yeah,
Cool Guys Kid. Look, you can do this a couple of ways, guys.
You know, if you enjoy my writing, you're gonna really enjoy this.
You can search it on YouTube.
Yeah, search YouTube Cool Guys Kid or Larry Mullen. It'll go to my page, my channel.
If you guys want to go to LarryMullen.com, that's MOLLIN.com. He has it. You could link right to the YouTube page.
Yeah, I think you can. You can subscribe to my YouTube page and it goes right to it. But you want the Cool Guys Kid playlist. And it's a lot of fun. It's as I describe it as a murder, mayhem, and kissing.
Yes.
And, it's kind of it combines a lot of things I do. Hopefully do well.
This is good. This is amazing. And we're going to plan some sort of event around it. You know what I mean? Like we're going to put them on the audio of them is definitely going to go onto our audio page.
Stand up with like headphones on, like I'm at a TED talk, you know, that's what I really think about doing. You know, I've been thinking about a play like that.
Speaking of this, but we are going to be, Larry and I are going to start looking at episodes from seasons 8 to 10 soon. That's going to be
first time I've ever seen these. First time reactions to, post college in 90210. Yeah, that's a rare. Yeah, that's
yeah. Great. So we're gonna have some fun with that. That's coming down the line.
I'm really be bored, but I finished the novel. I'm waiting to get some feedback.
That's so. And then Chuck's been recording some watch alongs. He's gonna do a couple more episodes with us, and
And we have the big February live special from Ryan Thomas Muntz Brown.
We are going to Ryan Thomas Brown's wedding. He's not marrying anybody from 90210.
But we're all going there to celebrate with him at the Golden Nugget. It's a very Vegas wedding. It will not be an Elvis wedding, but we're going to try to make it as fun as an Elvis wedding.
Yes, absolutely. Try to do is get some sort of dramatics to happen. Like in WWF, they would have someone come in and try to stop the wedding.
Yeah, I think we've got Zach Throne, who played Howard on the 90210, or DJ... head of the radio station. Now he's going to be there too. He's confirmed. And there's going to be lots of other, hopefully other fans and friends. And it should really be wild. Golden Nugget, February third and fourth, the parties are.
I feel like the only thing we haven't done properly, like with this, is get your tickets now for
right. I'm telling you, you know, it's, I don't know why we said yes, but we're going to have a good time there. I know Chuck loves Vegas. So Chuck is a Vegas kid.
It's been a minute since I've been up there. I'm excited. All right, Larry, before we get into this episode, you have connections to two of the people that are in this episode. By the way, David Semel was supposed to be here. We don't think he's coming.
Such a good job directing this. Right.
He did a lovely job. If you watched us on Patreon, we talked about the amazing job that he did on this episode. But you are connected with Mary Crosby, who of course is Claudia.
Bing Crosby is she plays Claudia Van Eck in 90210. Yeah. She's Bing Crosby's daughter, and in 1978 or 9 she starred in a sitcom called Brothers and Sisters, of which I had come to town, and I was an actor in it. I played a character called George. Do you have a?
Well, here's some stuff.
There's my credits. See, guest star, and that there's me. Yeah, that's really terrible.
This is amazing.
I wanted David Semel to see this, especially since he was my director for the Rhodey character.
Right.
He would see the birth of the Rhodey character in George. Get this
on YouTube.
On YouTube, the whole episode is there. I did a number of them. And it, got me, you know what? It actually got me SAG Medical at the time, because I already had Writer's Guild too.
Yeah.
Covered my wife's birth, where I had a 1-pound, 14-ounce baby, as we know, like Andrea.
And this is incredible that this shot of you.
I bought action talent. I made some money.
Go to YouTube. Not only, you should put this on LarryMullen.com, but go to YouTube, not only for the cool guys.
Well, it actually is on my channel under Larry's TV.
If you go down there, I mean, the episode's called, it's Brothers and Sisters TV show in 1979, and it looks like the episode's called The Main Event.
Yeah, there's others, but that one's on there, which I'm in.
Larry, is this wrestling-oriented or boxing?
No, this was boxing. It was a terrible series. I mean, if you watch it, you just got to be mortified. I mean, it starred Chris Lemon, Jack Lemon's son, Mary Crosby, Bing's daughter, and a couple of other people, and William Wyndham was this great old character actor who I played chess with. He was good.
So it seems like it was a lot of fun.
It was that shot at Paramount. It was exciting for me. And Ron Levitt, I noticed, is one of the writers, and he created Married with Children, one of the great sitcoms of all time.
There's a lot to cover in this particular episode. So let's talk about Speechless. That's where we're at. Should I play an old ad? Let me play an old ad.
Oh, nice. Okay.
By the way, I want to tell everybody we have a lot of new merchandise. So this ad is old, but there's a very cool Brenda shirt there now that people are running off with. There's a lot of new material up there, so make sure you go check it out. We're going to play an ad. We're going to come back, and then we're going to dive into Speechless.
Well, well, well. When was the last time you checked out the Beverly Hills 90210 Show shop? Because now it's loaded with so much more stuff. Did you ever want to join the gang at CU? Because now you can wear your official CU t-shirt. Or want to get into the fun with America Zip Code? Represent with this cool swag. Or maybe you have an invite to the Peach Pit After Dark and need the coolest shirt ever. We have loaded the store with so much more. So don't be a squeeze. Head over to Beverly Hills 90210showshop.com for all the latest goods.
You know, we usually mention music stuff here. Jeff Beck passed away. Did you want to talk about him at all? Were you a big Jeff Beck fan at all?
You know, I was. He had a couple of albums. First of all, I love the Yardbirds, and so his work on that was fantastic. And then I just remember this Beck Ola album. It was really, and I can't particularly remember any of his songs, but he was, really an excellent blues guitarist. And
sad.
There they go. But I did really admire his stuff.
See You the Wave wants to know if Dylan's Porsche is finally available in the shop. I did not. I know we talked about probably that, but that's a great idea for a shirt. So that will be coming soon. That should be available by next week. I put a Brenda and Dylan shirt there. We're having trouble, by the way, getting that approved. So that's nice and
nice.
Fun. Let
me set this episode up in time. Yes. This is an October episode. In other words, you've already come into into season 6 now. And and we're moving to, and we know we're going to lose Luke Perry in 10 episodes. So I'm not sure what number. This is probably like about 6 or 7, maybe.
This is 6, I think.
Number 6. And so, you know, we're really winding. There's a lot of different stories going here, and that one is really intense. We had things we had to do. The other thing we had to do in this thing was to quickly do get Ray out of the series. We had a mandate to get Ray out of the series.
Let's talk about it. There's a lot to talk about.
But that was part of the in the thinking of this episode, how it was. And the other thing, if David Semel was here, he would verify this was a double up. So it's very important in double ups to isolate the cast. So you'll notice in this episode, very unusual, the whole cast never gets together at one point. Maybe in the beginning at the Peach Pit After Dark, there's a number of them there for the short bit where we say goodbye to Ray's performing career at the Peach Pit. But after that, everything is segregated into storylines, and no one, and the twain don't meet.
I want to ask you, let's tackle a couple of, you just said a whole bunch of really important things. We've talked about some of this before on the podcast, but let's just say someone is brand new coming in. They're going backwards instead of going forward, and then they're listening backwards. Ray Pruitt, Jamie Walters, you had found out that this has happened to you a couple of times where you find out at the top of the season, and you probably have a year worth of stuff for this actor. And you walk into an office and somebody says, that's done. We're not doing it. Right. Can you tell that story?
At the end of season five, if you remember, in Palm Springs, there's an altercation. You know, Ray gets physical with Donna in an angry way, and she stumbles and falls down the stairs. And
that's how I saw it.
And that's how I see it. There's a Rashomon quality. Valerie did not see it that way, but Ray also was angry, and he was at least admitting violence in his action, in his words.
Yes.
And our plan was, yes, and we were going to have Ray work like hell, who was abused as a child, to get better. It was a redemption story we were eyeing for season six, you know, with Donna caring for him. Because, again, we had the mandate she was going to remain a virgin that season. It wasn't going to happen.
Right.
So now we need, so she could be a caregiver to Ray, and then we could get away without having to have them in bed. So that's always a background. Because, again, we're manufacturing at this point. You know, we're trying to put all these parts together. And
is there any thoughts of like Ray might go out with Valerie, or are there thoughts like this, like long term plan with Ray, or what do you think?
He, without the redemption, he was going to be a black cloud over his head. So no, if you could you thought about it, but only for a very short time.
Got
because it wasn't going to work out. It was going to have to be too much focus on it and work on it to fit into the ensemble. It'd be, you know, just that wasn't worth it.
So sometimes
I always say you serve the show, and he served the show, and you know, and just didn't break right. Sometimes it breaks right. You know, you get the scholarship, so to speak.
Now, who told Aaron Spelling? Mr. Spelling probably tells you this is done.
Yes.
How does he tell
the? Oh, I've told this story.
Yeah, many, it's okay. I'm going back.
No, Steve Wasserman and I got called up and at the beginning of the season, we had already done
when
our
you said
planning.
Beginning
of the season,
but we would like have off before the season starts.
The season starts the Monday after or the Tuesday after Memorial Day for us, you know, the way we have viewed it. We would have had maybe 2 or 3 weeks off before that, and we probably would have worked those weeks because we had a lot to tell Mr. Spelling about the whole season, because we had all the linch points of the season already worked out.
Yeah,
it was going to happen. For the major character and the major storylines.
So you walk in
because this was the Dylan. We had the marching order that Dylan is leaving after 10.
You knew that though. Did you know that last season?
No, we knew that going into the season before we started imagining what we were doing and how, you know, and it was a tremendous honor to be able to have to, you know, do it as best we could. And, you know, because we loved them. Yeah. And so, you know, but I, you know, over the summer, you know, not the summer, I guess the episode P.S. I Love You aired in May. So between May and God, the end of May, there must have been like a deluge of mail because there was no other communication or phones ringing. How could Donna be so stupid to be with this guy? And that's what I remember him saying and emphasizing it just that way. And he said, I'm so disappointed. We love Ray, but we have to end his situation on the show. And so figure it out. We'll give you a couple of shows to do, get it going. And, but we, you know, and again, we've already signed him for the whole season.
So he's 32. Getting paid.
Yeah. He's going to, it's $1 million deal. He's going to get paid.
Did anybody raise their hand and say, we could redeem him?
Of course we did. Of course we did. We told him, I said, Mr. Spahn, we have this whole plan. He's got to go, you know, that's the whole thing.
Yeah. Well, Donna can look strong, but it you know, you have
there was,
to.
You know, there's a recency bias, you know, in a lot of these decisions. You know, people you just have believe to the last sometimes. Thing they see, the last person they talk to. Sometimes that rules decisions, as everyone knows in life.
Politics and drama, what goes on behind the scenes with recency actors.
Recency bias and actors. Yeah, so that took it. And again, we were in double ups. And I had I had an idea. I wanted to put the girls on a road trip. And then
all right, yeah.
It being, you know, and part of the conceit was going to be, and I brought in a young gal who grew up across the street from me named Meredith Steen, who now is the president of the Writers Guild.
Refuses
who
to
I
come
brought
on
her
the
on
podcast.
Staff. She refused to come on. It's sad. I don't know why. She doesn't have a better memory of it. But
put her in the category with
but
Dean
I kind of took her under my wing and gave her an ampersand to write with me like a partnership to really protect her. We wrote this episode and I had the conceit about, the one hand they're gonna go to a convent and the other hand the guys are doing a porno movie. That's kind of in my wheelhouse, so to speak. That's my range.
Another thing. Well, no, it's the perfect little mix of good and evil, right? Or whatever, if you want to look at it that way. But the other thing too, you mentioned Luke Perry is gone. And we're seeing a lot of that happening too.
Yeah, I mean, so that storyline we began, and you know, Luke in the vengeance trip, which you felt was strong, and you know, we knew we had this Tony Marchette thing where we're going to confuse them, and you know, we cast a fabulous actress in Rebecca Gayheart, and the two of them have instant chemistry. So now we just got to really, and I got looked to a lot for this because I had done, you know, Renegade and other police dramas and other stuff. I hadn't just done soaps. I had done action shows. And so we beat out how we were going to tell this story. I mean, especially with him and Marchette. And there's some good stuff there. And again, we hit, thank you, Diane Young. She brought in Stanley Cammell and
so
Paul
good.
And everybody loved him. He just has the right amount of menace and charm. And he's long gone and his spirit hopefully soars.
So the idea of the girls going on the road trip,
The fun is that, you know, it's a road trip, so we're going to hear truth. It's kind of the equivalent of a slumber party, basically.
Totally.
Except, you know, I'm going to add the device of the fact that we're going to a convent with no talking, so we can just hear their thoughts. And then we can have a little bit of fun with that. But the road trip itself, you know, it's just like a road trip. You know, you're playing road games. And what I love about this thing when we watch it is that Valerie's just trying to be one of the girls. She's trying to be as upfront and honest as they are.
Yes.
And it's just unfortunately it doesn't work out for her.
Let's see this clip. We have a clip and we'll have some thoughts about this clip. There's a bunch of clips.
After Labor Day.
Oh, that is the best beach. Mm-hmm. I had my best kiss there.
I like. Who with?
Oh, we're not up to that category yet.
Mm. Claire, where are you going?
I'm just
going
to take a little shortcut. You sure you know where you're going?
Yeah.
David and I took this road last year when we came up here looking for UFOs, remember?
Wait. On my map, it's just a dotted line.
Yeah, but just for like 10 miles. Back to my favorite category. Best kiss. Couch.
Who with? Not gonna tell you.
I know who it was.
Who?
That girl.
Alice.
Oh, it was not.
Okay. First of all, that is really funny. Yeah. That is a great joke, and Claire delivers it so wonderful.
Then tell.
Come on, no secrets on this trip.
That's right, no secrets.
All right, fine. It was Dylan.
Really? Not Brandon or Colin?
Well, Brandon wins for consistency, and Colin wins for intensity, but nothing will beat that night on the beach with Dylan.
Okay, who's next?
Best kiss, for me, David.
Yeah, me too. David's all right.
What about you, Valerie? Was it Brandon, Dylan, Steve, Colin?
Play the game.
David.
You kissed David?
Just once.
When?
This morning. Well, stop now. Come on, let's hear it.
I don't think I want to hear anymore.
This is unfortunately, this trip is really not going to go well for Donna.
Oh, but it's it really is very cool. And what I like about this, I mean, seeing all the kissing, the obsessing with kissing, you can see that my hand was in there. But no, there's some lovely the way that everyone kind of is setting this thing up and referring back to the past, which.
Again, I love it.
We really were conscious of that. We wanted to keep these characters' histories alive. We were really aware of that. Our fans were out there, and they knew it, too. And there's so much of that in this episode.
Well, Claire just referenced a couple things. She said that she went for aliens.
With David.
Which is one of my favorites. And then also referencing Dylan kissing Allison. Dylan kissing.
Oh, yeah, the Allison thing.
Allison thing is great. You know what I mean? So there's...
Yeah, and also like the Kelly and Dylan kiss in the pool, the iconic scene there. We kind of bring that back. And
yes.
You know, it's just it was so...
And this is the kind of conversation.
They were real people to us.
Yes. Well, to me too. I'm glad that we all talked about this. No, but my Claire fandom was in its height.
Right here. Yeah, yeah.
She looks so good in this episode. It's just kind of insane.
Yeah, that's kind of good. And again, like Val, and just to rewind before with this episode, and ask me. I wish there's Dr. Weiss. Hopefully, he's listening in. The episode before this is the one where Valerie saves David.
I think it has to be.
She talks about jumping off the
really cliff dark
at Santa Monica. Yeah, and so that's where the kiss started. So yeah, again, we're just really starting to heat this up, and we're carrying a lot of water into the November sweeps here. I like it.
See the Wave says Claire really owned a Volvo. This was her dad's car.
Exactly.
This is her dad's
car. That should have been stated. Yeah.
Yes. All right. Let's see. It gets ugly.
Out with David for a few months and you don't say a damn thing. I kiss him one time and you sit in the back seat and sulk for the last half an hour.
Yeah, well, David's not the one I've been thinking about. Come on, once and for all, what really happened between you and Ray?
Okay, let's change subject. Favorite Russian novels?
No. No secrets here, Valerie.
All right. I slept with him. Twice.
Right. Oh, my God. I think I'm going to be sick. You really are a slut, aren't you?
Please. Don't act so surprised like Claire didn't tell you months ago.
Claire, you knew about this and you didn't tell me?
Well, if you knew something like that about my boyfriend, would you have told me?
No, but you could have told me.
Well, I thought... David told you, you know?
David knew about this too? Stop the car, I'm gonna throw up.
Oh, that's just great. So, again,
it gets ugly very quickly.
You know, in a technical way, this scene vertically integrates the characters. So it's a good way to create drama. It's well done and well shot. Thank you, David Selman.
I mean, well, let's talk about that too. I mean, Donna's very upset. Now she found out something that we knew, but it's interesting that you waited all the way to this moment to reveal this secret, because this is a secret that Donna hasn't known about in a couple of years or a year.
Since the Portland episode, yes. I guess, Song to My Mother in season 5, right?
Dr. Right. Morris? I think so. Yeah.
I think so. So yeah, I mean, that's what we do sometimes. You know, you just push it down the road, keep those secrets there. The fans know it. Everyone knows it. You know, it's just like real life, and so you just wait to pull it out.
Sadie says this is a great episode. Maggie says David was her best kiss too in Story Slam. So there's that. Kristen wants to know who decided to have Val know Colin.
Well, you know, again, we were always looking to create conflict between Kelly and Val. So that, you know, we created that, you know, that year that Kelly was in New York, you know, under model tutelage, and she would have run into the art scene and met Colin there. Right. And I mean, Val knew him. Yeah, Val had a brief thing in New York or in Europe. I can't remember what.
Well, there was a
backstory there. Yeah. It might have been in Europe or something.
Yes.
I know we covered it. I know we definitely covered it. Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, that's
it's funny because people are asking us to cover more season 6. I'm like, I think we've covered a lot of it. But we can't keep doing it. We will. So this happens. Now we've got a really good setup. I mean, Jamie Walters is leaving. So this is one of the reasons why all of this is coming up as well. Right?
Yeah.
One other thing I wanted to point out in this episode here is we referenced this thing that we saw, because I know you're all about the art of kissing and the kissing problem. We loved this kiss when we watched this on Patreon.
Oh, yeah.
See you tomorrow.
Okay.
A Susan Keats.
Susan Keats. Yes, Susan Keats has a great exit on that kiss. She has her dismount of that kiss is fantastic. But also, there's a sticky quality to her kiss that she wants to be there. You'll see other kisses are much stiffer.
This is a good kiss. I want to watch it again.
Let's watch it again. You're welcome.
Tomorrow.
Okay.
That is not, I'm going to tell you now, and I don't know this. I've never talked to Emma Caulfield or Jason Priestley. There's some legitimacy in that kiss.
Yes. Well, we know that Emma really enjoyed working with Jason, and she was attracted to him.
Yes. I'm not going to put any speculation.
But I thought there was a playfulness to her. You know, she brought a lot to that character. So this was a fun, again, this was another subplot in the episode where, you know, Brandon has never slept with Susan Keats. They've been flirting and dating, and
now
the setup is he's finally got getting close to her. He wants her to come to the house, and he's thinking maybe he's gonna sleep with her that night.
Yes.
Of course, in the house, and Susan's very staid, the editor of the newspaper. Of course, in the house, Steve has arranged for them to make some money to cover all the expense of wrecking the house and redoing it, but by having a porno film
Right. I just want to
Pizza Boy 2 or something.
Something like that. That is the name of a Pizza Boy 2. I just want to shout out Emma Caulfield, too. Over the holidays, lost her sister. She passed away. So very sad news for Emma Caulfield. If you guys are 90210 fans and you follow us, please go over to her social media and just wish her the best, because she's a very funny, wonderful person. And she's just gone through quite a bit here. And so I just want us to just shower her with all the most love that you possibly can think of. So
good idea, Pete.
Yeah.
Love you, Emma.
Yeah. Okay. So it's interesting. Like, you mentioned this porno thing. Now I want to ask you, this is right in your wheelhouse, it feels.
No, look, it's an LA thing. Again, we're always trying to do things which are true to our neighborhoods. And, you know, one thing happens is that, you know, houses get used for set locations. And in this case, you know, we made a porno film because it's like a Beverly Hills kind of place, and yeah, had a little bit of fun with that. And
well, Brandon has no idea about it, and Steve has to show.
This is Steve.
Thank you.
Now there's a lot.
Steve,
there's a lot to break down there. Something really upset you in this scene.
I wish Semel could be on here. I could ask him about that. But yeah, you know, there's just not the right amount of sexiness in that scene for me. You know,
we've
had more revealing things from our girls than this girl.
This is what you're essentially talking about.
Her pom-poms are up so high, they might as well be in her, you know, over her breastbone.
There's no chance that anything is going to be revealed, is what you're saying.
No. And it was just shot well enough here to really titillate. I mean, in other words, think about all the stuff like Kelly in that costume where she nearly is raped, or Donna.
Kelly in the
music video in season 7. You know, we've pushed the boundaries of skin and
Valerie
in the Mexican episode.
Yes.
But just this is very chaste the way it's filmed and stuff, and I just really was not happy. So, you know, consequently, I have never watched the episode until the other day because I was so disappointed in the way that was.
But do you think, I'm just curious, and I would love to have asked David this question, but do you think it's the actress that says, I don't want to do that, and David's being respectful? Do you think David just shoots this way?
I would have to ask David.
Yeah.
And I probably, other than I was moving on to something else, because this was indeed a double up. In other words, we were doing two shows at one time.
Right.
I have to look to see which one we were doing at the same time, but I don't know what happened. It just kind of got away, and I didn't want to, I didn't want to make a big deal of it. Basically, it didn't really matter. You know, the idea was there, so I enjoy it. You know, I still wanted to roast David Semel.
It's not the worst thing to happen, but the porno gets pretty intense for Steve Sanders.
Steve,
look at him go. Well, I have some right there.
I'll put this. He's not. Careful. I bruise easy.
Now I get a pee.
Oh.
I'm very ticklish.
That's gotta hurt.
That looks really painful.
Stop! Stop! I'm so ticklish.
Great stuff, man. And Ian just like nails this stuff.
And then the other thing that's interesting in that clip is that this is one of the few episodes where Ray kind of hangs out with the guys as a regular guy and kind of shares, you know, the good time with Brandon there.
I
and then, of course, meanwhile, he's gonna get his head handed to him by the end of the episode by Donna because she's.
I noticed that Jamie did not, in my opinion, he does not look comfortable in this episode. Is that a? Do you think that that's fair?
I think it's fair.
He does not look.
But don't forget, he never felt as an actor. Part of his assignment was, you know, to be the outsider, and he's not really from Beverly Hills. He's from, you know, the Valley.
And I don't know if it's because we're looking at this all these years later.
Well, Ray, I'm sure there was something in there. He would have known already at this point that
of course. These are the last scenes.
Writing him out, and again. Because we loved him. We wrote that opening so he got to play music again.
Yes.
And we just kind of kept it going. I mean, then of course, he has to serve the show because we have to find a way to get down out of this thing. And that's what, you know, this episode also provides us, you know, because all the secrets come out. So we were able to, like, burn Ray on the Valerie thing, which we had done the episode, you know, the year before, which we really... You know, we always had that to harvest when that secret was going to come out.
We're out of options, and plus, you have to remember there was the whole court case, and that's gonna come
up. Yeah, then we're gonna again. You know, I think we said no. We said we needed him for 13 or whatever we needed him for, because then once we brought in the other boyfriend, which we did pretty quickly,
Cameron. Yeah.
And then we set them against each other, and we end up in Judgment Day in that
court drama. So he got some more work out of this deal. You know, he got at least got 14 episodes, you know, or whatever it was. Yeah.
Yeah, I would say he probably got 13 or 14 out of 32.
But he looks very sad because this is the episode where everything's going to be done.
Yeah, this is the episode where Donna and him, you know, that's it. There's no hope
at that point. Yeah. Because I don't have the clip.
I mean, I don't know what that kid was thinking asleep with her in the first place. I mean, I don't know. I have to ask Chuck about that.
Wait, what do you mean?
No, I'm saying why?
Well, why did Ray sleep with Valerie?
I'd have to go back and remember the episode where there was any leverage she had over him. I mean, or she just was just raw animal or raw animal magnetism.
It had to be.
Young, dumb, and full of cum, right?
Sometimes you can't turn it down. It's just
men stay immature for, unfortunately, decades. Yeah,
especially
decades.
Ray Pruitt, but I don't have the clip. But it does end bad. I mean, she comes back, and Donna says to him, "You slept where?" And Ray confirms, "Yes, I did sleep with her once. It was only one time," he says.
I know. I'm right there with him. We all were there when Ray said that. And we knew he was lying.
Oh, shit. Twice. I thought immediately twice. And then Donna, of course, says twice. And then Ray says
now,
that bitch.
You know, right. There was just no way. So that's it. He saw the door. Now, we must be coming up to a Smash Pumpkin pretty soon then. The next week, I think he smashes the pumpkins up down on the deck. And
we should really cover
Psycho Ray a little bit. You know,
I don't know that we've ever covered that. Here is this thing that we need to talk about. This is a couple of big moments that we have here. But writing this scene, Larry, the girls at some point while they're up there, they have to take a vow of silence. This is another big part of this. By the way, also Kelly is off the rails with her attitude. It's a whole other.
I would forgive her. She spent the whole summer as a model, and people looked up to her. And she's a little bit out of the college scene.
I never seen a character or a person be so miserable about a small inconvenience like getting stuck at a convent.
There's always one.
She does not seem to have fun. She blames everybody for the problems. But anyway, they finally get to dinner.
This vow of silence is killing me.
Ah, what a relief to see some different faces around here for a change. And such nice girls.
What are you grinning at, sister?
She can't even look me in the eye.
Check her out, sisters. You're dining with the devil's handmaiden.
They all seem to be such good friends.
Potatoes, please.
I wonder what Miss Shortcut wants now.
Pass the damn potatoes.
I mean, darn nice. Potatoes. I hope they go right to your thighs.
Inappropriate.
I wonder if any of them are virgins. Are any young girls virgins anymore?
What is she so pissed off for? I did her a favor sleeping with Ray. She's too good for him.
I always thought there was something going on between her and Ray. I guess I never wanted to admit it. I never want to admit a lot of things about Ray. At least you don't have any man problems. Maybe I should have checked into a place like this a long time ago.
Great stuff, though. Writing some of the inner monologue dialogue stuff, Larry. Tell me about writing that and like what.
Yeah, it was great fun. I mean, and, you know, Meredith did a lot of that too, because she wrote a lot of that storyline. So I want to give credit to her,
of course.
Too, but I probably rewrote some of it too.
No, but the idea that we would not hear them verbalize anything.
Yeah, that gave us a free shot to, you know, say some things and, you know, be cruel and, you know, like the thighs line, made them hope they go right to your thighs. Right. You know, just have a little bit of fun with that in the oddness of the experience, you know, but, you know, not implausible that you end up in a convent.
Also, we should shout, I don't know who played the nun here, but she's really great.
Ginta Ray, her name was. I think she's departed.
Oh, you think she's passed away?
I think so.
Okay.
Could be wrong. We tried to find her.
Killed off the nun.
I know.
Well, I don't even know how old she is. She looks very young.
I know.
This woman. Yes.
I thought I was trying to find her and it didn't end well.
No, we did not find her. Okay. And then, of course, well, but I mean, so this is that, that's the big moment here. And the big thing that we should talk about there is Valerie and Donna. You know, somebody asked here, what was the reason that behind Donna forgiving Val almost immediately? I don't think it was immediate that she forgave, that Donna forgave her, but that, you know, Val and her have this conversation about, you know, look after yourself after what had happened and what she saw. Right.
Yeah. I mean, look, I think it's in the spirit of the convent and the spirit of the scriptures or whatever to forgive her. I think she's playing out that. I mean, she's trying to, you know, follow the faith at that point.
Because Donna has a whole scene with the nun. So, I mean, I think that makes sense. Now, of course, the big thing that's happening, this all is great, but you're building to this thing that's going to happen with Rebecca Gayheart's character, right? This is the purpose of these episodes, is this is the main story that's happening.
Well, you know, we started off with Dylan, you know, using his entrance to Rebecca's character, Tony Marchette, to get to her father.
Right.
And then, of course, he falls in love with her along the way. Now, this is the episode where that gets thrown back in his face, where it gets exposed, where the father comes out and they have that scene without Tony, the girl, gone.
Well, now, over the table. And Rebecca Gayheart's character, Tony, believes
only
nothing's
the best
wrong with her father.
Father,
and everybody's good. You know what I mean? But they both have cruel, ulterior motives.
Yeah.
And let's get to that.
You didn't really think I'd have dinner with the son of Jack McKay now, did you?
Oh, come on, I thought you two were supposed to be such great friends.
Let's make this as brief as possible. What is it you want, money?
No. No, I want you to give yourself up.
Mm-hmm.
Or die. It's your choice.
You know, I thought after my friend Tommy Rose showed you the sights of Palm Springs that you knew what you had coming.
Another.
That's when I was afraid of dying an unnatural death.
Mm. Now you're not.
And now I'm not, because I have a safe deposit box. And in that box is enough information to nail you. So if anything happens to me, it's a gift that keeps on giving.
Try to find
Stay him. Away from my daughter.
Or what?
Or I'll have Ronnie here just aim a little lower and wound you.
Gentlemen, please.
This is pretty intense for an L.A. restaurant, for this to be happening under the table.
I mean, coarse behavior like this, I am shocked. However, my opinion of you is sufficiently known enough that I too came prepared.
Mm-hmm. You wouldn't do anything that stupid.
Neither would you. So I'm gonna put my gun away. I'm gonna say goodnight. And then I'm gonna take Tony home.
Actually, Antonia is already on her way home.
Yeah. Well, that's too bad. Because we were just getting to the part where I tell her how you killed my father.
Great stuff, man. This is now we're in it, right?
Yeah. Yeah. So this is episode 6. So we got 7, 8, 9. 3 more, and then the wedding and the funeral. Yeah. I mean, they got to make a choice here. This is an episode that's leading us into sweeps, getting people really hooked into the story. And God, Luke is so good in this thing. And David shot it really well.
A few things that are even the hitman is great. You know what I mean? Like, everybody is just in it.
Yeah. I mean, I look back and that's a pretty damn good scene for this series, you know, to have that kind of tone all of a sudden in the middle with so much authenticity to it, you know, because of the actors basically. And there's,
Stanley Camel and Dylan or Luke Perry just played off so well. These are the kind of moments that I wish Luke Perry was still with us to dive into, because this is the kind of work that he was doing. I would love to have asked him based on this scene and you were leaving, was there any part of you that was like, I'd like to keep going with this? There was so much more to explore with this, but
He had some gears. And again, you know, we got that storyline kicking. We really cared how we were going to send him out. And we just knew this was an explosive way to go. If we could pull it off, we had to have the authenticity to pull it off. I mean, in writing this, it kind of came off like I was writing, you know, a police or whatever drama.
This has got all your hands over it. I mean, even the double guns at the table.
The double guns on the table. I don't think I used that before that, but maybe I did. I don't know.
But that feels like a Larry Mullen thing.
Yeah, I don't think it was. Chips never drew guns, so might have been Knight Rider. I don't know.
But it's a very cool way of, like, heightening the stakes of the situation.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, and it gave the Dylan character a way to stay in control, you know, where it seemed like he had to, you know, basically, you know, get beyond these professional gangsters, these killers.
Yeah, and when you reference the killer that, like, hung him over the...
Oh, yeah, in Palm Springs, you know, Tommy Rose. Oh, yeah, that was cool. Well, I love that episode, too. I wrote that one with Chip.
We watched it on Patreon. How do you think this one holds up in the categories of episodes? A lot of people were excited about
it. It's a sleeper for me because I had a negative view of it because of that casting experiment, because of that silly things. But I bet, look, it did, you know, no one ever mentions it, so I never thought much about it. You know, no one says, oh, I love that episode where no one talked and stuff. The comment and the porn thing. Sometimes I'm a little too out there sometimes, but... I thought it played well, and I thought also it really played, it something we always want to do. Character is plot, and this is one where character is plot, because we basically mine all the backstories of the characters to create the drama here and the tension between the friends, and that's good. And then we have the relief with the porno film, and again, the porno film ends great because... in a way, he gets Susan Keats all sexed up, and he ends up back in her dorm room. And the first night they sleep together.
They do. They do. She puts that cute little note. Pornography
does work, kids.
Larry, that's the message. There is that other thing that Susan Keats test about making the bed.
Oh yeah, the man. That must have been a Steve Wasserman thing. I think I have a feeling.
Or
I,
Jessica.
I don't know where that came from. Maybe Jessica, or maybe Meredith. But I thought that was really cute.
It's a cute test. I would not pass that test in case anyone
I would never have passed that test. I never did.
So sorry to say that. Yes.
No, my wife was a great bed maker.
Yeah, what do I have to do? That's what you're here for. No, I'm just being so stupid. All right, well, this has been great, man. It was good catching up and good checking out this episode. We're going to be looking at more season 6 and 7 down the line, and we're also going to look in season 8 to 10. So,
I mean, does anybody have any questions before we go, Pete?
Let's see if there's any more questions. Our friend Molly Campbell says that she's
watching great.
As always in a wet mid-January evening. Yes, reading Saul. Love you very much, Molly.
Hey, that's good. Great good job stuff on here. The costumes. Yep, great stuff. Great nuns costumes too. Excellent.
Yeah. The nuns. Anything stuff else? Great. This right, is it, man. And okay, this baby. Was great. Yep. Okay. All right. Good seeing you, my man. I will see you next week.
Talk to you soon. Bye-bye.
Yep. Bye.
If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.